Alrighty. Talk to you later.
Again.
And what shall we continue with?
Our questions, you know. First question I didn't ask and I wanted to ask myself and I offered it and then I shamefully forgot about it. I wanted to know about nature of Ben's asthma attacks. And I was wondering what's underlying there, because after speaking to him, he said that he doesn't know because he feels so content, as far as I heard. And it's out of the blue. I know it's an allergy season, and he has asthma attacks. Then have had allergies. Ian have had allergies. A lot of people around me do have allergies. So, and Ben is kind of an extreme even if he didn't come. So I was curious of underlying reasons for this.
I would express that he is not necessarily content. He generates actions that allow him some degree of comfort by engaging actions that he enjoys, but he does incorporate some elements of discontent. He is comfortable partially in his environment. For him, he engages other individuals, friends, that allow him a degree of comfort and a degree of distraction. But he is also not comfortable in his environment. He is not entirely content with his environment. There are certain elements that he would be more comfortable with. I have expressed many times to many individuals that environment and your physical location is an important factor. And many individuals reside in physical locations that they do not necessarily resonate with, but that they do not generate a repelling with either. They may be somewhat neutral in certain physical locations, which many individuals occupy physical locations in this manner. And they function adequately. But when an individual allows themselves to reside in a location that they do genuinely resonate with, there is a significant alteration in the individual themselves. Mm-hmm. They are more motivated, they generate much more easily, their energy becomes lighter, they generate less difficulties, less physical manifestations, for they are comfortable with the energy of the area.
Okay.
Now there is neutral with the physical location that he occupies. He compensates for that with individuals.
Okay.
And surrounding himself with other individuals that provide a sense of comfort. But he is not entirely satisfied with his own personal situation. He is dissatisfied in his personal situation in his home, in the environment of his home, and in not generating an intimate relationship. He also resonates with other physical locations much more strongly.
Which one would they be? Other physical locations?
He is aware.
Is he aware? Okay. Thank you so much. So you think that the main point, so it's like a
he restricts himself.
Yeah, because asthma exhausts its restriction. Yeah, that's what first comes into mind. But also when I spoke to him, and I know that he isn't started the process of looking for another place to live. But physical location, as I understand, is not far. He's looking in the same area, so to speak. That's my understanding. And I thought that that may be somehow be tied into his asthma, because I just, again, I used my own experience, and I thought that it may be stressful, you know, even to come to such a decision at such times to buy a place. So I thought it might somehow be connected.
Yes.
He also connects it with Malvo, because he first had asthma attack when she disengaged, or was about to disengage, right?
Yeah, that's what he said. And he said, I think, oh, that's how she felt. That's how it is. It's like his empathic sense kicks in so much that he experiences it severely. Is there a connection also with Marco that he
wants
to know there is?
Yes.
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 But my thing, you were saying that he is not comfortable where he is, and he's not thinking, but then he kind of regrets it or said about it.
It creates a dissatisfaction.
Dissatisfaction.
And it creates a sense of restriction. He is restricting himself in what he allows himself to be and to experience in his own freedom and in his own preferences.
Now, my allergy, and I know I align with many people who are having allergies now.
Yes, they say it's an allergy season.
I guess allergy in general, people say for several years they didn't have it and now they have it more strongly. It coincides with emotional wave. And yes.
Is it part of emotional
wave? It has something to do with emotional wave, maybe.
For some individuals.
What about for yourself?
Okay, yeah, then let's go to myself. For me, why all of a sudden strong allergy?
This is connected with this wave, for it is another form of communication for your body consciousness also. Incorporates an avenue of communication, and as this wave is addressing to all forms of communication, this would be connected.
Mm-hmm.
In this, individuals will generate whatever form of communication will emphasize to their attention. Therefore, it may be physical manifestations, it may be interactions with other individuals, it may be their own interaction with themselves. But what is occurring in this wave is the energy is magnified, and therefore any form of communication is emphasized, and almost exaggerated.
Okay, let me ask you this. Why especially allergies? Is it the easiest way to get your attention? I mean, there are so many diseases. Why allergy? Because it is less harmless, but gets enough of your attention.
Yes, and also, it is an expression of irritant.
Mm.
It is an irritation. And it generates many, many, many different forms of irritation.
Oh.
Therefore, it also is very constructive, for it emphasizes the irritations that you generate in many, many different directions in association with communication.
Irritations in association with communication.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in my case, for example, when I am asleep, I am okay. I wake up, I go to the kitchen, all of a sudden I start sneezing like crazy. So, am I telling myself I'm not paying attention, or am I offering myself an opportunity to stop and take a deep breath and look around, or what is really behind that?
It is a signal to pay attention. And in this, let me first offer an acknowledgement of you that you have been accomplishing significantly in allowing yourself to be more interactive, and in allowing yourself to be more exposed and more present with yourself, which allows you more of that interaction with other individuals, not being behind the curtain. But there are some elements of this that continue to be present and that continue to generate somewhat of a discomfort, which also can be an irritant, or it can be a frustration within yourself in restricting yourself and wanting to be more, wanting to engage more.
Okay, I think I'm understanding. But now let me ask you this. Sometimes I catch myself, well, oftentimes I catch myself in that I continue to see life as something not so much real, something imagined. Like in Siamsa's Leela, she caught me saying, I don't believe what I am seeing. So that's one expression where I don't really believe what I am seeing. I'm thinking that to some degree I'm watching a movie still. Now, when I'm trying to get from into that movie and become part of it, I don't always know how to do that, because if I'm pushing, probably pushing is not the way. But when I'm trying to relax into it, doesn't always happen. And like when there is mosquito flying around me, I'm trying to relax into communicating with mosquito, that doesn't naturally come. Or if I'm sneezing like crazy, it pushes me back to watch the movie as opposed to exposing myself to that sneeze. So how would you come to that?
I would express that this is an accurate assessment, and I would express to you that this is the base of it.
Hmm.
Precisely what you are expressing. When I express to you that there remain some elements that you continue to restrict and do not allow yourself to be and to participate, this is what is being emphasized. It is not merely the communication and interaction of verbal language that is a restriction with you. I am aware and acknowledging that you are becoming more present, but I am also understanding the frustration of not allowing yourself to be a participant in this reality, mm-hmm. not merely an observer.
Mm-hmm. But where am I in this? In that I'm so used to being an observer that it gives me some form of illusion of being of identity, of being safe behind the movie screen.
I'm not expressing that you cannot be an observer.
Mm-hmm.
You can be both.
This, in a manner of speaking, is the next step in being present. You can be observing, and you can be in your expression of comfort in that, but also be present and participating in the reality rather than perceiving yourself to be outside of the reality and detached from it.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess one fear is that I get lost. When I am a player for a moment, I get lost, or what I perceive to be getting lost so easily, that I stop being observer and I don't know where I am anymore. I don't know what to observe. So many things are happening. It's like if I'm sitting and watching a game, then it's easy. I'm just behind the screen. But if I start playing, all of a sudden there is so much stimulus. Do I look at the ball? Do I look at other players? Do I start moving my arms and legs? Where would I put my attention?
It is not that black and white.
Hmm.
It is not a matter of, in your example, watching a game and becoming the game. or becoming the players, or becoming any object in the game. It is a matter of allowing yourself to be the observer, watching the game, but also being present in your existence. Do you remember my analogy of the mirror? This analogy very much emphasizes what you interpret a tendency to do. When you place yourself before a mirror and you gaze into the mirror, you see your reflection. The reflection does not see you. You, many times, are being the mirror. Rather than being you gazing into the mirror. The mirror does not see you. It merely reflects you. The mirror does not interpret any presence. What you are doing is expecting the mirror to see.
So I'm switching off part of me, and I am letting just some automatic reflection through the express part of me, which is not really the me that would really see and react.
Yes,
and participate. Okay.
Precisely.
Okay. I'm just, because when I started reading the metaphysical literature and whatever my interpretation was of the messages there, it was kind of easy for me to become somewhat of an observer, and maybe I was all the time, but I did not take it to where it really needs to go. I became automatic in just saying, yeah, this is going on, but I don't really participate in it, I don't really see it, okay. That makes sense.
It is natural for you to be observing. Therefore, this is not bad. But you have confused observing with being the mirror. And therefore, I'm expecting the mirror to be seeing and participating, rather than stepping into yourself and recognizing that the mirror is merely a reflection. It does not see you. It does not perceive you. And it does not interpret any presence of its own. You are what is creating the presence.
So is that mirror a part of me, or is that an artificial creation that will dissipate eventually?
Presently, both. For you have created it to be a part of you.
Yes.
But as you become more present with yourself, as you place your beingness back into your physical body consciousness, and become more aware of your own existence and your own presence, yes, it will dissipate, and eventually it will disappear.
Mm-hmm. So my observing is not the true observing. And also, it somewhat...
At times, yes, it is. Many times, no, it is not. But at times, yes, it is not black and white.
Now, it has something to do also, to me, with becoming again a captain of the ship, coming back to my own house, making sure that I am driving again, and getting excited again about being a driver, about being a captain. What can I do? How can I play with this? With my body, with my emotion, with my life, with everything. Not merely registering whatever happens.
And this would also be associated with what we discussed yesterday. And being aware of your comfort. Paying attention to your comfort. Which is also not black and white, as we discussed. It is not a matter of noticing when you are paying attention to discomfort and noticing when you are paying attention to comfort. It is a matter of paying attention to comfort in its different degrees and paying attention to time frameworks in which you would not necessarily define that you are comfortable, but you are aware that you are not uncomfortable. This is how you begin to be more present and more in touch with you being you. That is not to say that it requires that you are continuously participating outwardly with other individuals or with situations. You can continue to be expressing in your natural direction of observing, but you are also aware of your beingness. That you are the one that is observing, not the mirror.
Very nice. Now, is this also somewhat of an in-between state, in that if I go one way, I am coming back to my house, becoming a captain and all that, but if I somewhat go the other way, then I may be in some altered state or meditative state. Is that somewhat of an in-between, or not really?
It can be, but you can also be very present in what you term to be altered states.
Yeah, which is actually advisable.
That also can be an effective practice to be helpful to you, to become more familiar with the feeling of being present.
Now, for me, what is what is or are some of the for me specifically effective avenues of exploring altered state or meditation or whatever? Because I think I have somewhat of a fear of out of body, and I have some issue with even remembering my dreams that I still haven't worked out. So I'm scared and lazy boss, and I'm not doing much, but is there an advice, what is that I can be playful with and not much afraid, and what type of meditative routine?
What is your fear?
It's a good question.
If you don't come back?
Yeah, in the dreams... In the dreams, I don't even know. There is something that pushes me away from being methodical about writing down what is it that I saw in my dream or whatever. Somehow I feel I better leave it alone. But I don't know what the underlying cause is.
It is not necessary to be writing your dreams. Some individuals enjoy that action, and others do not. And in association with you, I would express that it would be less of an attractive action to engage, for I would agree with your assessment that there are some areas in which you choose to be lazy.
Mm.
And this is acceptable. I would express that the reason that you incorporate the fear is not a fear that you will not return. It is a fear that you may connect with some element of yourself, be it you now or another focus, that you may feel threatened by, or that you may dislike. And in that, knowing that it is you, that can be repelling.
Is it the same way with me? Why I'm not achieving all those other states and things, but I'm afraid because of the same reason that he does. That makes it something that may be scary to me, or I don't want to face it.
There is a significant element of that with you also. Not necessarily per se that you do not wish to face it, but that it may be repelling to you. Or if you are engaging a projection, that perhaps you will project to some area that is very unfamiliar and that will be very confusing, and that can incorporate an element of being frightening.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, unless you are focused and directed intentionally wanting to project to some unfamiliar area, you will not. Generally speaking, you will gravitate to the familiar. You will gravitate to locations, so to speak, mm-hmm. that you incorporate an interest with, or an affinity.
Mm.
Or you will gravitate to other focuses that would not necessarily be distressing. That would be more of an interest or a curiosity. Even if the other focus is very different from yourself, most individuals do not automatically project to seriously uncomfortable scenarios.
Okay, let me ask you this. I wanted to talk to you about it. A little bit. I'm reading Robert Monroe's books, and I'm almost done with them, and it's very fascinating, and you're aware of him, right? And he's out-of-body experiencing, and all this work through the years that he has done. He has traveled, so to speak, a lot out-of-body. And on his travels, he encountered different humanoid forms, half-human, half-not, some different things, and sometimes they were scary, as I understand. And he was talking about all these different levels he has gone to, all these different focuses, up to 27 or so, that they go deeper, deeper, and deeper. And all the entity that he would encounter there. My first question, I understand it is a translation, but I want to now know how much of it is, in relation to us, for us to understand is true in a way. And second thing I wanted to ask about Dozat, I guess I'm afraid a little bit of Dozat, I can meet some, so to speak, demons and stuff, and I wouldn't know how to deal with it. So he said that his way of dealing with that was, if there was no other way, he would just approach the physical. So I barely want to do out of body, and I actually did first step, I bought a hemisync, first of hemisync CDs that would allow to synchronize your both hemispheres of your brain. So I hope one day I won't be lazy and I will listen to you, and I will get an environment in which I could be comfortable and not be distracted and do it, but I haven't done it yet. But I do want to do it. But I have this reservation about meeting something or somebody that I will not like, that I will be afraid of.
First of all, this is an example of what I was expressing. An individual that is intending to generate projections in certain manners. And the intention is to explore farther and farther. Therefore, there may be some encounters that may be different enough to invoke a frightening experience. But this was his intention, not necessarily to be frightened, but to explore as fully as he perceived that he could. And therefore, generating an openness to whatever he would encounter. This is a different direction. This incorporates an intention to be exploring unknowns.
Yeah, he actually qualifies things as knowns and unknown. That's his wording.
Yes. And in that, generally speaking, most individuals do not approach projection in this manner. They want to generate a projection and remember it,
yes,
objectively, but most individuals are not quite so adventurous, and therefore they do not generally create these types of projections. Now, I will also express to you that I am aware of this individual, and there is a significant degree of interpretation and translation.
Mm-hmm.
And also elements of his own beliefs,
okay,
that are coloring aspects of the experiences, which is quite natural. That does not invalidate,
I understand,
his experiences. But what he may experience and identify in a particular manner, you may not.
Mm-hmm.
Such as a hypothetical example, one individual may generate a projection and encounter another entity, so to speak, and translate that or interpret it as an angel. Mm-hmm. It was not necessarily an angel, but in association with their beliefs, that would be their automatic translation. Or an individual may generate a projection and encounter an alien that appears very similar to aliens that they have seen in books. It may not necessarily be an alien, but this is how the individual will translate it. But as I expressed, generally speaking, you would be more likely to engage a projection either to a location that interests you, or to engage a culture that interests you, or to encounter another focus in this physical dimension of yourself that may express a curiosity with. Mm-hmm. As to what would be the most effective manner for you to engage, it may be not necessarily meditating, but visualizing. Mm-hmm. In actuality, both of you can engage this action together and create a visualization, merely set an intention. It matters not what it is, but one that you both agree upon, and therefore are generating a unified energy. And in that, in participating together, it strengthens the energy of what you are doing and allows you to generate it easier.
That is not in a dream. That is in the, like, we would be sitting right now and we agree that we will go to the top of some mountain in Vermont if we like it and start visualizing that mountain and the top of it and what we see around.
Yes. And do not attempt to direct the visualization. Allow it to unfold itself. And what will occur is some aspects of the visualization you will both incorporate and they will match. Some aspects will be different, which will allow you to piece together the entire picture.
But do we start with actual places that we know, or do we just go somewhere we don't know?
That is your choice. You can generate the visualization of a location that you know, or you can set an intention to visualize a location that you incorporate a curiosity for, but have not actually visited.
Now, in this, would what I am seeing be more of a communication to me about anything, or would that really have to do something with that place that I am attempting to observe or visualize?
In a manner of speaking, it is both. Okay. For you are exploring, and therefore you are offering yourself new information and a new experience. But you are also connecting with the location itself.
So there is an element of remote viewing in it?
In a manner of speaking, yes.
Okay. Now, during that exercise, we will not be communicating experiences. We will communicate afterwards.
Yes.
Where the notes.
It would be yes. Hard for you, no, not at all.
I can manage.
Ha, 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 ha. And in that, if you are so choosing, you can set a time framework. Perhaps 15 of your minutes. And as you practice, you can extend that time framework if you are so choosing. But the key is to genuinely allow yourselves to engage a very relaxed state in which you allow yourself to somewhat defocus. Just as you can defocus your vision, you can defocus your concentration, and that allows the visualization to begin and to unfold. The trick is to not manipulate it. Most individuals incorporate the tendency to begin arranging the pictures and manipulating them to make them fit, so to speak, in some type of order. But the order will come when you share the pieces. Therefore, the trick is not to attempt to make sense, for it will, on its own, when you share together the pieces, for each of you will incorporate different pieces.
Okay. Right now I can see one challenge already, because I may not remember the place you want to go to.
You really agree.
In this also, as you practice with this, you will discover that when one individual is sharing, it will spark your memory of an element that you viewed also, and you can build upon that. Just as with a dream, or just as with your waking physical reality, your senses take in tremendous volumes of information of what is occurring around you. You do not necessarily register all of that information. Which is expressed many times when an individual notices some element in an environment that appears to them to be new, but it is not. They have not noticed, they have incorporated that information, and it has been assimilated, but there is no spark to jog the memory. But in visualizations, as you move through a scene, so to speak, one element of the scene may be more prominent and obvious to one individual, and the other individual may have seen it, but it was not as obvious or prominent to the other individual. As you share, that will spark memory in which each of you will express, ah, yes, I did glimpse that also, but I was paying attention to this. And the other individual may respond, yes, I also recognized that. This is how you build the picture.
Interesting. Yeah. I had a question, actually you had a question, good question yesterday to ask Elias about to assess our energy center and our tendencies right now and where we should watch and what we should watch for. How is our energy now? Remember you wanted to ask this?
Another example of the mirror.
About the health and in terms of energy, and if there are any tendencies that we are not aware of, we are doing something new that is not beneficial to us, we would like to have your view of it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Part of that question was answered yesterday with eating, being, and camouflage, and that has relates to me as well.
Yeah, it's yes, part, but...
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's what she can ask.
Sure. Beyond all that I have expressed thus far to you each, I would, in actuality, express an acknowledgement to each of you. But I would say to each of you that you are paying attention. And you are genuinely attempting to apply what you present to yourselves. And you are noticing when you are creating an obstacle or a difficulty or an expression that is not necessarily comfortable for you. And you are also noticing your own frustrations in different manners. And you have sought information in relation to them. Therefore, I would express an acknowledgement to each of you in that.
Yes, thank you. I do remember that. Yeah, I wanted to ask about that.
He has returned.
Yeah, I have returned.
Thank you, Elias.
My old thing about cholesterol and all those things, I do notice some restriction. I do notice that sometimes my left hand almost feels as if I don't get enough blood. So immediately I think that my muscles may be already constricted. Or when I go up the stairs, sometimes my muscles get tired very quickly, or I'm out of breath. Again, immediately I think cholesterol and vessels and constriction and all that. So I guess one question is, are my vessels really beginning to be constricted? And two, if so, with just observing and relaxing and allowing be enough, or is there more aggressive measures that I could take?
Are they presently restricted? No. Once again, this is not a black and white, and it is not a constant. Mm-hmm. Do they at times restrict? Yes. Mm-hmm. Are they continuously restricted? No.
Okay.
What can you do? You can, yes, incorporate relaxing, but also incorporate some different type of stimulation. For it is not merely a matter of relaxing, it is also a matter of stimulating the body consciousness in a different manner.
You're talking physical exercise?
Not necessarily exercising. My suggestion is that you engage dancing.
Okay.
And this may be a fun activity for you to participate in also.
Yeah.
Okay.
This will allow you to relax, but also to stimulate, to generate creativity, to be playful, to incorporate fun, which also stimulates the body consciousness, and it offers you an avenue to be expressive without words. Mm. And in this, it can be helpful to you in being more present. It can be helpful to you in allowing yourself to be expressive in different manners.
Yeah.
And creative.
Yeah. Great, thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Just hope we can incorporate in our life some of the suggestion that you do.
Sure we can, I'm already dancing.
Oh yeah.
I guess one quick question about the totem animal for Ella, the focus of essence.
The focus animal would be a lynx.
Lynx?
Yes.
Ella.
Why?
Why?
N.
M.
X.
X. Okay. Lynx. Okay.
The essence animal would be a caribou.
That is funny, I think. So, so
and I thought elephant.
And I thought a cow, maybe, just out for fun. Well, I thank you so, so much.
You are very welcome, my dear friend.
Thank you.
I shall be greatly anticipating our next meeting.
So will we.
And the report of your dancing.
Oh!
Light as feathers. Until then, my dear friends, and in tremendous lovingness to each of you. Au revoir.
Au revoir.